welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice. We hope that you enjoy the program.
My name is Sierra Gray, and I'm attorney at Ogletree Deacons. A festering wound has been re-exposed for the Black community in America right now. As a Black woman, the intense and undeniable sadness and anger that I am feeling right now has been overwhelming. Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor. These are names that I am sure you've heard of by now. These are names of Black people that have been unjustly murdered. And for the cases of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd, the violent and undescribable indifference displayed in the videos of their murder has been profoundly disturbing to me. There is a clear issue in America with police brutality and racial injustice. Now, the purpose of this podcast episode is to provide a practical and succinct guide of how employers, coworkers, acquaintances, and friends can be a better and more supportive ally to the Black community right now. My aim is not only to provide a resource to allies and potential allies, but also to provide a resource to Black Americans who will inevitably be asked the question, how can I help or what can I do? That is what I seek to answer today. So the first step is educate yourself. We have all heard the terms institutionalized racism, microaggressions, police brutality. But what exactly does that mean? And what does it mean in the context of Black Americans in the history of the United States? Now, there are a plethora of phenomenal books, articles, podcasts, videos that do an in-depth analysis of these topics. And instead of reiterating what they probably articulated so well, I'm just going to provide in the show notes a list of resources that will be a good start as far as educating yourself. And I want to emphasize that part. This is going to be a good starting point. This should only be the beginning. These resources will be a good start, but do not stop there. Go beyond this podcast episode, go beyond the resources provided in the show notes, and be a lifelong learner. The importance of educating yourself as an ally is an ongoing process. We are willing to commit to ongoing learning when it comes to our professions and our favorite sports teams. The same commitment can be used when being intentional about being lifelong learners when it comes to issues affecting the Black community. It's important to own your process of learning and to not place the burden on the Black community to educate you. Education isn't always through books and documentaries, though. Sometimes shared experiences can offer educational lessons. It's important to learn to listen with the intent of understanding. You are not going to always know everything, and that's fine, but it is your responsibility as an ally to listen to Black experiences when they're shared with you and listen with an open and receptive mind. The next thing I want to talk about is self-reflection. Now, you can watch all of the videos, read all of the books, use all of the hashtags, but if you do not internalize and apply it to your daily life, it's all for nothing. Knowledge without action is not allyship. In order to be an ally, self-reflection is paramount. From an individual standpoint, it's, you know, assessing your own actions and potential unintentional biases that you may have. We all know that participating in blatant acts of racism is unacceptable. We all know that. But, you know, the bar and the level of commitment to be an ally is well beyond those blatant acts. As an ally, you should look at the more subtle actions and conversations that happen that could pose potential issues. It is easy to see and be justifiably outraged by someone being hunted down and murdered while jogging. But something that is also important is the more subtle things, the constant interactions that Black people deal with on a daily basis that weigh them down. And, you know, I know you probably heard me mention this before, but I want to talk about microaggressions. And if you don't know what microaggressions are, essentially they're insults rooted in stereotype that are directed at someone because of their membership in a marginalized group. I was watching a TED Talk called Eliminating Microaggressions, and they compared microaggressions to paper cuts. And they were saying that, you know, one paper cut, you know, it hurts, kind of stings a little bit, but, you know, you keep on pushing, keep on pushing. But if you have a body full of paper cuts, it's unbearable. So I want to go through a couple examples of microaggressions. Example number one, you're so articulate. You are so different than other Black people. This is a common example of a microaggression, and what it does is it differentiates the Black people that someone works with or Black people that they're friends with from the rest of the Black community. Another example would be something like, I don't see color. What this does is it denies the experiences, distinctions, identities of the Black community. It's okay to acknowledge differences. And as an ally, you should see color. It makes me think about a really good friend I had growing up. Her name was Melissa. And Melissa was Muslim. I'm Christian. And when I would go spend the night at her house or just go over to play growing up, there'd be certain times where she would have to stop playing and go pray. And if I were to have taken the standpoint that I don't see color, I don't see religion, then it could cause me to not be receptive and understanding of her differences, the differences that I have with my religion and the differences that she has with hers. Hers causes her to pray at a specific time, and that's really important to her. In order for me to be a good friend, it was important for me to understand that her religion had different distinctions that required her to do things that wasn't required for me. And it's important to be receptive and understanding of those differences. If you take a standpoint that everyone should be treated the exact same, it doesn't allow for complexities. As an ally, we want to be receptive and understanding that our color does come with different experiences and distinctions that should be respected and that should be applied to our daily lives. The next thing I want to talk about is speaking up. The civil rights icon, Martin Luther King Jr., once said, "In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." I want to extend upon that a little bit. It's not only the silence of our friends that will be remembered, but the silence of our employers, the silence of our coworkers, the silence of our acquaintances. As Martin Luther King Jr. demonstrates, true allyship requires speaking up and being vocal to amplify the voices of the Black community. One thing that I've been told is that, you know, talking about race is uncomfortable. And as an ally, it's important to push through uncomfortability and speak the hard truths when necessary. So as an ally, you should be vocal and be open about your support. So let's talk about how and where allies can speak up. You know, for example, at work, if you're an employer or a manager, sit down and have probably uncomfortable but necessary conversations with your team members about how they're coping with recent events. Don't tiptoe around the subject, but address it head on. Avoiding the conversation for fear of uncomfortability could look like disregard, which could in turn lead to disengagement from team members. Another way you can speak up is on social media. If you're on social media, use your platform as a tool to educate and amplify issues affecting the Black community. Also, you know, start with your friends and family. Talk about race. Talk about racism. Extend the conversation past social media to include your dinner tables, your churches, your hair salons. One of the best ways to speak up and be an ally is starting with the people you interact with on a daily basis. And listen, you're not going to be perfect, but use your best judgment. Support and speak from a place of empathy. You may mess up. You may say the wrong thing. You may have previous beliefs that you now realize are misguided. When that happens, it's fine. Admit it and correct it. Remember what I said earlier about being lifelong learners. It's okay to change your mind. Next, I want to talk about engagement. Engagement is so important when it comes to allyship. Engagement can come in the form of donating to organizations. And there are several out there, like the Equal Justice Initiative, Black Lives Matter. There are several organizations that are supporting the fight for racial injustices. Another part of engagement is being aware of the social climate and knowing what is appropriate. For example, a really good friend of mine, she's a Black woman in corporate America, and she was at work right after the death of George Floyd. And she was in the lunchroom and, you know, different people were talking, or a few people at her table, and they were talking about how great their weekend was and they had such a good time and just so joyous, so full of energy. And, you know, my friend was there kind of looking down, and they were like, "Oh, how was your weekend? I'm sure you had a great time. I'm sure everything was wonderful." And it ended up being a very awkward conversation for her because of the recent events, because of the very, very recent death of George Floyd and how she was currently dealing with everything that's going on. So another important part of being an ally and being a good ally is knowing the social climate and what could be affecting your Black friends and your Black colleagues. It's important to be supportive and considerate of all of the circumstances. The truth is that the injustices facing the Black community is not new. But this time and this moment to me feels different. Allies can support the Black community by educating themselves, speaking up, listening, and engaging. The most important part of allyship is not empathy, but it's action. I've been encouraged by the support that I've seen from allies. Your support should be rooted in selflessness and a desire to hold yourself and others around you accountable. It should not be based on optics or PR, but rather out of a profound commitment towards dismantling racial injustice. True allyship consists of educating yourself and committing to anti-racist work. It is action in the form of uncomfortable conversations, challenging some norms, calling out microaggressions and other inappropriate behavior, and donating to organizations that support Black causes. Passive non-racism is not enough. I would like to encourage everyone to stand with the Black community through your action. Use your voice to amplify and support issues gravely affecting the Black community, and to be an ally not only when people are watching, but especially when people are not watching. I want to leave you with a final personal challenge and question. Now that you know what racism is and how it's affecting the Black community, what are you, as an individual, going to do to eradicate racial injustice?
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice.